Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. This is what we do. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this is all about. This is a men's ministry. This is part of, that's who we talk to, about trying to get men lit up to be able to pursue and desire knowing Jesus even more, because he is the answer to all things. And that's what we are here for, is to be able to encourage, inspire, and bring some of our own experiences, and in some cases, bring in what others have experienced that we know of. But it's all about the Word of God and let you know that you're not alone in your challenge. So we speak primarily to men, but on occasion we have women that listen. They're known as the stealthy women. We just acknowledge them that way. In the studio with me today, Duke is here. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
Nice to have you once again. And we always like to kind of kick things in with a little bit of encouragement. And I know, look at you, you're already ready. So I don't even have to ask the question.
Well, see, my struggle is which one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you know which one.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Okay.
What I'll share with the audience today is the blessing, I guess, or encouragement of being available. Rather than trying to figure out God's plan, sometimes all we need to do is just be available.
Yes.
Just be there. Without our ideas, just his. And last night, we had a man at our men's group meeting that had been with us a year, and he's getting baptized tonight.
Mm.
And so he shared, just very briefly, how he got there. And here's a guy walking down the street in the city that we're in. We've got the door open to the men's gathering. You can hear stuff. The lights are on. This guy walks in off the streets, had never even been in our building. He walked into our band of brothers. Of course, he was greeted, brought to the back, given a little bit of food, sat down, changed his life. What he heard that night, and I don't even know what it was, changed his life to where his testimony last night, here was a totally broken man on the streets, and he was sharing with the rest of the group how that hope had infiltrated him that one night.
Hmm.
And all it was because we were available. We were just there. We were doing what we would do, honoring God, fellowshipping, and the guy rolls in, had not experienced that. Now, we didn't try and witness to him. We didn't try and, no, we were just there. We were just available. And last night, my heart just swelled at just that. We didn't do anything. God did it all.
Yes.
But the door was open, and we were available.
Yes.
And usually that's all it takes. It's not a big, arduous event that a guy has to struggle with to show God's love to others. Just be available.
Yes.
And that's my encouragement.
Yes. You know, and that's a really good encouragement, because sometimes we think we have to qualify to be able to, we have to be at a certain level of spirituality or knowledge of the Word of God or something to be able to answer, thinking all these things that might come up. And all it is about having compassion, really is what it comes down to, is realizing that, hey, someone was there for us at a time in our life when we were busted up, okay? There was. And each one of us who have come to know Jesus with our past, the way that it had been, that someone was there and believed in us and gave us attention.
That's
okay?
It.
And as a result of that, and that's truly, and I know you would never say this, but that's, you're an example of how men have an opportunity to be. Because of your heart, okay, you house men in a certain sense. You give them a place to be able to get their feet on the ground in a sense, so to speak, to be able to encourage them, let them know that there's purpose for their life so that they feel better about themselves. You may not have all the answers to everything that they do, but you give them that opportunity to be able to know Jesus and to be able physically, okay, to be able to let them know that here's a safe place for you to be. And because of that, men's lives are changing. But not just their lives, the lives of those that they end up touching too.
Oh,
so it just goes on and on and on, beyond even what takes place. So well done on your part and being obedient to the Lord. But I think I love the fact that these guys end up coming across someone that is willing to be Jesus in the flesh, in a sense, here on this earth.
Amen.
At this time. So there you go. Well, listen, today, our topic today is we have some emails. We have to catch up on some emails that have actually, that we've received. And these emails are sent to us by those who listen and those who end up hearing about us. Here's the email address. If you have a question or a concern or a challenge and you want our take on it, it will be answered. Nobody's going to know who sent it. It will be answered anonymously, but it will be answered the way that we feel. We don't even look at these up ahead of time. We just kind of just go ahead and read them as if somebody walked up to us and said, this is my challenge, and then we just kind of go from there. So it could be challenging for us, but we do it, give it the best shot we have. But here's the email address that you can send that into, help@bandofbrothersradio.com. That's help@bandofbrothersradio.com, and the producer who ends up receiving the emails will let you know what day you can listen to the show, because these are all on podcast, right? If you don't hear it streamed live, you can hear it on the podcast and hear the reply. So there you go. Let's kick into it. We've got a few of them. And is there one of those that
There's a short one here.
Short. Those are the ones that always take the longest.
Well, yeah. The other one, I thought, what a paragraph. There's a lot of topics here. This one says, what can a husband say to get his wife to stop criticizing every single thing he does? We've only been married 3 years, and I can't imagine living with her for another 50. How do you get my wife to stop criticizing everything I do? Oh, golly. Well, I have an answer. I mean, it's not a complete answer because we're on a journey, but I had something similar to this come up not that long ago between a husband and wife. And what we agreed was that they weren't on the same page. That is, the assumption is when the folks write in here is that they're believers and that they're engaged in God's will.
Yes.
And they're struggling with something in that. What I find is if we go to Scripture with what's wrong with this picture, it'll bring us back to a place of unity that doesn't exist in the home. There's a division. And whatever it is that your wife is doing, if the two of you are on the same page and you discuss it openly, you say, darling, I love you kind of thing, but boy, this is really grinding on me, and you look at God's word together to see how you can bring, you know, some peace to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that goes. I don't know the exact answer. I just know that when couples tend to do that, they tend to discover exactly what it is that God wants them to discover.
Yeah.
But if they're not, this guy's thinking in the world, what can I do? She's this, she's that. Well, brother, you're supposed to be leading your home. Open your Bible and figure it out.
Okay.
A little bit.
There you got the Dukeology right there.
There you go. And, Dukeromedy.
Well, I tell you what, you know, one of the things that takes place when I hear this is my first thought is like, okay, I wonder what she's criticizing. Because he says criticizing every single thing he does. Well, I'm not sure if it's every single thing, but there's usually that lets me know or reminds me that there's probably something that she hasn't, maybe she's been upset about, something that maybe you have done that she is still holding a grudge, so to speak. Some people call it resentment, okay, that has taken place. And as a result of that, if you feel like she's saying there is nothing that you can do right, that means that there's something really wrong, okay, on her end. Now, you may have a clue and just trying to avoid it and say, hey, I don't understand why she's like this, you know. You might have an idea. The likelihood is that you do, And you've been married for 3 years, so it's not like it's the first month of marriage and all of a sudden she doesn't understand why you're doing this and doing that. So you've been together for a few. So what this gives is an opportunity for God to intervene.
Amen.
Okay. As Duke had mentioned, this is where what it's going to take is that maybe this is a time for you to be able to, when you come home from work, we don't know the whole situation, what your home life is like. Maybe you're not working. Maybe she's working. I don't know what we don't know what the situation is. But you need to get have God's perfect timing. Here's the key, is praying and asking the Lord for the words to say and to her, to ask her to be able to have a discussion without an argument and to be able to do that in his perfect timing, not yours. Okay, in his, okay? And then when you approach her, that you approach her not with a defensive mode, okay? Hey, I want to talk to you about these things that have been going on. No, that's not the way. That's not the attitude. We need to be treating everybody with love and compassion and kindness, including those that we live with, especially your wife, because we're supposed to love them as Christ loves the church, okay? Now, I'm not condoning what she's doing as being right or anything. We're just trying to help you out. But here's the deal. You ask her if there's a time that the two of you can talk, that you just want to be able to understand what it is that's going on. And you can let her know that you may very well not be aware of what it is that is wrong, but there's something that's not right. But you want help. You want her and you to come together to try to, you know, hash this out with the Lord. Here's the key. I mentioned already, you pray before, but that, before when you're, you know, God's going to direct you when the perfect timing is to meet. And then when you talk with her, you before you get going, you want to pray. You want to ask the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, right, all of this may be what the real problem is, okay?
Yes.
So when you start to do this, here's the deal, brother. Is that God created you for a purpose and a reason. He allowed her to be in your life for a reason, okay? They are our wives, are our helpmates. We are to, in a sense, we are the spiritual head of the household, but it's only if we are seeking God. That's what makes us a spiritual head. Not because we are a man. Just because you're married doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're it. No, you may not be good, and I don't want to say good enough, qualified in the sense of being able to be a spiritual leader. Now, how do you qualify for that? Well, the best way is to be able to submit and surrender to God and being obedient to his word. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you got to get into his word to find out what it is that you need to be obedient to. Well, what does that mean? That means that you need to hang out with people who are actually attempting to do that on a regular basis. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to talk with people, other men, to be able to understand, hey, I don't understand this. Can you guys help me out with this? Best place to go? Senior pastor. I assume you're going to church. And if you are, there's a senior pastor that is there to help you and to help guide you. But I will tell you this, we've given you a few things here, but I think anything else you want to add to this, brother?
Yes, it's just the way that, and it's maybe it's just me, but I know that we as men process this stuff in such a way that we want to fix it. We
yes.
want to be done with it.
Yes.
I can tell you, brother, that you won't necessarily fix stuff, but there is a standard benchmark to go to every time where you're on an even playing field, and that's the scriptures.
Yes.
You can take your wife in prayer or otherwise to the word and allow that to be that place that you go to navigate through that stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's your children, your relationship, your work, what you go to scripture and you engage in that together, and God will reveal it to you, brother.
You know, there's something about when our relationship with Jesus is right, all of a sudden it starts to make all of our relationships right.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationship with our wives, our relationship with our children, with our extended family, our coworkers, just everyone that we bump into. It does. And I tell you what, I know that from my own experience, because when I am bothered, when I am had a rough day or a challenge day, or I feel weakened and so on and so forth, and then somebody comes up and may ask a question that maybe something that isn't as simple as just a yes or no answer, I take it personal and I jump back at them sometimes. Hmm. Or I say something that I shouldn't be saying at that time. And I say shouldn't because, most people don't know what's going on in my head. I don't know about you guys, but everybody else, nobody knows what's going on in my head, but unless I'm willing to share that. And that's what, our wives are there. They're our helpmates. We're to help each other. We're to help to bless our children and to be able, whether they're with you or out of the house already or grandchildren, or maybe you don't have children at all, but there are people who are looking at you that you actually influence. And that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So knowing the Lord and seeking Him in all things with your wife is a blessing to your household. So it's not easy. It's easier said than done.
Oh, yes.
But we just know that God, if you ask Him for the courage, the strength, and the perseverance, and the kindness, and the right words to say, He will bless you with that, brother. So there you go. That's it. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, and we've got a few more that we want to go ahead and give a shot at. And you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Summer is in full swing, and there's nothing that says summer like a great barbecue with friends. If you're having a barbecue, make sure you serve your guests top quality meats from Hemplers. Hemplers offers hot dogs, bratwurst, and delicious bacon, the perfect addition to any hamburger. They offer a variety of meats that are nitrate-free and have no gluten. Improve your next barbecue by choosing Hemplers meats. For more information and where to purchase Hempler meats, go to Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, CanesLawnAndGarden.com. CanesLawnAndGarden.com.
Consider making a tax-deductible donation to help us continue providing FaithPlace.org.
Band of Brothers Radio.
When I hear testimonies of other men and how they've went through things, it blesses me and helps me in my walk.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
The shows I would listen to, there were so many times where they were just exactly what I needed to hear that day for my marriage or to get through the day as a mom.
The Carolyn Merriman Show.
It's really helped me to focus on meeting God every day and hearing what He has to say to me. And often that will happen when I'm listening to Carolyn's program.
Please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, and it seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just go.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul. Doing some emails. We got another one here that, I think a lot of guys will be able to relate with it to a certain degree or not. It says, I know I have a problem with anger. It got me in trouble recently. My wife called the cops after I got mad at an accidentally, accidentally pushed her. I'm out of jail and getting a lawyer. I realize I need to take an anger management class or something, but I already know where my anger comes from. My dad was super critical my entire growing up years. I couldn't do anything right. I have explained this to my wife so that she would understand why I have anger, but she doesn't have any compassion. She keeps saying I'm blaming my dad for my problems. Isn't it true that stuff that happens between dad and son in childhood really impacts that son when he grows up? How can I get my wife to understand this? And do you have any Bible verses that could help me get rid of my anger? Okay.
I did too. I had a serious anger problem. And I've been married 40 years. My wife can attest to more than a few chairs flying through the air and telephones back in the day when you could yard them off the wall and throw them at people and stuff like that. I was violent. And I went through anger management classes. I can say that those were all helpful. They all provided tools for me to navigate. But my heart wasn't softened to really ministering to that until I started seeking God's wisdom in it. And as we continue to tell the brothers, it's about being in fellowship with other brothers, sharing this kind of a struggle or challenge with others that whom you have respect for. We could say senior pastor, elder, other brothers. But certainly, brother, you are not the first guy to feel like mm-hmm. you're carrying around baggage from your childhood, because it's probably true. It sounds like he's got a logical viewpoint of, okay, I got a problem. I think I know where this stems from. Well, there's half of the game right there.
Yeah.
At least then you feel like you can reconcile with that versus I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So that's a positive note in here. Now, we also know that if we're to experience the fruits of the Spirit and show them, one of them is self-control. I think it's the last one listed in the fruits of the Spirit. Man, that's got to be the toughest one. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. So what do you do? Well, you start with recognizing that you're going to need to reach out. You already said that by saying, I think I need an anger management class. Okay, go look and see what that looks like. It still comes back to talking with your wife and being biblically foundational about it, I guess you'd say.
Right.
There's a lot of scriptures on anger. It looks like you've managed to look one or two up.
Well, I've got one up there, and I couldn't remember exactly where it was at in the book of James, but I did find it. It's in James 1, verse 20. But I'm going to read out of 19 here. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. This is the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So in other words, he's saying that, hey, there's nothing about anger, because anger is done out of emotion. And when there's emotion involved, we're not necessarily thinking straight with our heads, okay, on what the, you know, whether this should be said or this should be done or not said or whatever it is. We just do it out of emotion because of the pain that usually comes with what it is that has taken place that triggered it, okay? You know, there's something about anger. We all have anger. We try to justify our anger. We know that Jesus is it talks about in the New Testament that he was angry, and he would get angry at times. But that was justified. That was justified anger that the Lord used. And so often we try to think, what we try to do is just justify our behavior, okay? Now, when it comes to anger, we're all going to have anger, okay, at one time in our life, at least one time. I mean, and so I could say that we're all the same when it comes to that sort of thing. But what it comes down to is that I like how a guy shared with me one time, or that he was talking about my anger, okay? He says, what you have is that you have a short fuse. And I said, so how do I get a longer fuse?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
He says, well, the longer fuse comes with your understanding and being able to do certain things that maybe you haven't done before. It's to be able to go to those things that are down deep inside that maybe you haven't shared with somebody, Or maybe somebody had hurt you in the past, or somebody had discouraged you in the past, or somebody, you know, whatever it was that has taken place, that maybe you just need to share that with somebody to find out that that's not unusual, that what you felt or what you had gone through. See, so often we get embarrassed. And I'll tell you this, as a child, why does it always lead back to our childhood? Well, because, you know, we were brought up by parents who did the very best with what they knew. They may not have known very much, so that means that there's probably going to be a lot of discouragement, a lot of challenges. I mean, I was raised in a sense where, you know, you got whooped if you did something that they told you not to do. And if and I was also told at times that you're not going to be good for anything if you keep down this path or you keep doing this sort of thing. So there was I got that on one side. The other side, I got the encouragement, you know, but it was like it drove me nuts. It felt like, I'm crazy. I'm going crazy here. But this stuff does carry on because it's a behavior. This is how we end up dealing with things. Okay.
Well, and there's a very good chance that your dad had his dad was super critical.
Yep.
Brother, you're called to be a chain breaker here. You've made a covenant with God with a woman that you're supposed to love as Jesus loves the church, and here you're getting out of jail because of the anger problem. And you know what? Your wife might be right if you're using that as an excuse. The last thing you say is, do you have any Bible verses that can help me get rid of my anger? Brother, you ain't going to get rid of your anger. You just learn how to minister to it through God's word. That's the patience. That's the prayer. That's delaying it into the at the foot of the cross each and every day that you have to until such time as the Holy Spirit softens your heart and reconciles that relationship, because that's not your design, brother. You have been taught the wrong things.
Yes.
And from your father, and you recognize it. So if you recognize that, you got to say to yourself, all right, that was how I've been trained. How do I go to retrain? How do I retrain for God's army? Mm-hmm. And that's the journey.
Yeah. Well, and it starts off, that journey starts off with a total, not as much as possible, a submission and surrender to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Okay. You have to be willing to receive and willing to be changed. Okay. Not the way that you think it ought to be, but
yes.
The way that the Lord wants you to
yes.
be. Yes. Okay. Because that's the whole purpose that we are created anyway. We are created to be able to fulfill what God had intended us to do on this earth. That's why he knew about you and I before the world was even created, that he was going to create us, okay, in our mother's womb, okay, and that there's a purpose for our life, just like it talks about in Jeremiah, okay, that he actually has a purpose. It's not to hurt us or to harm us, okay. And as a result of that, see, now why do we believe that's true? Because we believe in the Word being the God's speaking to us, that God is actually speaking to us and reminding us of what is important, okay? And when we seek to do His will, not ours, all of a sudden things become a little bit better. Now you sit there, and it really depends on where you're at, but this is the truth. This is what He wants. You know, it's amazing how when I end up reading the Word of God, sometimes I read in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, but when I read stories of some of the men who actually, the things that took place in their lives, they could justify being angry and you know, pushing everybody away. Look at the story of Job. Look at the story of Joseph, whose brothers, you know, got rid of him, okay? And then at the very end of the story, it's just a blessing. The end of the story of Job is just a blessing because they stood and they continued believing in the Lord and trusting in Him. God is faithful. Brother, when we come to Him, you know, we may be embarrassed and shameful of some of the things that were done to us or things that were told to us that we continue to carry on. You know, I think one of the hardest things I realized is that the way that I was disciplining my children early on was the same way I was being disciplined.
Of course.
Because that's the only thing I knew.
That's right.
I saw how some other friends of mine were disciplined. I'm glad that my dad didn't do that, you know, in some cases. Seriously, where he took a fist to them. You know, and I'm going, oh my goodness. You know, and I'm scared. I'm going home, you know, getting out of here. But my point being is that whatever it was that has taken place in us, sometimes there is room for forgiveness. You may think that there's no way I'll ever forgive that man. He may not even be alive, or whomever that individual was. It could have been a grandfather, an uncle, or a grandmother for that matter. And my point being is that there is opportunity for healing. And the healing takes place with this relationship with Jesus Christ. And he will put the right people in your life, and he'll let you know who to talk to and who to listen to. But the key is seeking him. So when it comes down to this sort of thing, and I honestly forgot everything else that you had mentioned in the email here, but with your wife, she, you know what, there are some challenges that you have. And it's not about just managing your anger. It's about getting to that place of realizing that maybe you're going to end up with a longer fuse than the one that you have. You know, there's something about when things are going right in my life, or I should say when things are not going very well in my life, and I get behind the wheel and I'm in a traffic situation, road rage is right there at the tip of my tongue, okay, mm-hmm. or the actions I want to take, okay, because people just don't care. They're just trying to get where they need to get, and you're trying to get where you need to get. And so road rage is closer to a reality than any other time. And when things are right in my life, when things are good, when I've had a lot of some blessings that have taken place, and I get in that same scenario, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't care. Go ahead and cut in front of me. No big deal. I want to live like that all the time. Okay?
Yes.
But because of the situations and my experiences, sometimes it's difficult. Life does not, we don't get a heads up, here it comes type of thing.
No, but the reason that you can do that, brothers, because you have taken responsibility for your role and God's design for you.
Yeah.
So, for example, as this guy talks about, he wants to convince his wife that he's not a bad guy because he has anger problems. How can I get her to understand? How can I? You know what, brother? You got to get on your knees, for one, and then you got to go to your wife and you got to apologize.
Mm.
You recognize we have a problem. Yes, dear. And then address it that way. Because really, as I read this email, it's this wife being critical about something you're doing, brother, to the point where you've lost your temper and you went to jail. Now you're getting a lawyer. This is going to get all worldly. It's going to get all goofed up.
Yep.
Man, you want to stop the agony? You want to stop the bleeding? I say go to your wife in submission. Ask for her forgiveness. Ask for her understanding in a way that you will grow through that and get her on board with you instead of being at odds. And the only way that happens is for the both of you to be on the same page of God's Word.
Yes.
Then you can navigate through those muddy waters together. And, man, you do that with your helpmate, that's one of the most strengthening things you can do for your marriage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One of the things I think is so important is that we don't just try to get our wives to understand the Word of God and what it's saying, this is what you need to do. What we need to do is to be an example of what Jesus' words are saying to us, and that we do those. You know, the book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 3, is very good about being able to let us know how to live the way that Jesus had intended us to live, how God himself, why he created us, okay, how to be able to get along with everybody. So I would suggest that you, if you have a Bible, I believe that you do, that you read Colossians, okay, and go to chapter 3. It's the whole chapter is not very long, but you can read chapter 3, okay, and part of it, after it's going to tell you about what you're talking about here in this anger, I'm going to go beyond that because you already know about the anger that you have. So in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So that's really what it comes down to, is that we are to be more like Christ, okay? And in doing so, we're going to find that we're going to have to go through the fire to be refined. We're going to have to feel the pain of those things that have happened to us in the past so that we can be done with those. The chains will be broken, and Jesus is the one that's going to be able to do that, not you.
And you know how we know this, how you can speak with confidence? It's because we've seen it.
Yep.
We've either lived it, yep, done it, been there. And you know what? I've seen both scenarios. I've seen the guys that totally went to humility, saying, you know what? I'm not doing it right. I do need help. What? Help me. Mm-hmm. And then I've had the other guys that will do a little of that, but they're still holding on to self. They're still saying, no, this is my problem. I'll solve it my way. And you know what? The results are also predictable.
Yes.
In both cases, the ones that embrace God's word and begin to soften and don't find that one verse that says, okay, here's my... I used to do that. Mm-hmm. My wife and I'd have something or something be going on, and I would look up in the Bible and I'd find something. I go, okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Here it is. All right, yes. I'm right, dear. Yes. Let me show you this verse. No, I was so wrong. I was not. I may have been reading the verse, but I wasn't then praying about it, saying, Lord, is this what you want me to see? And how shall I deliver this to my family? Mm-hmm. Show me how to be that vessel.
Yes.
When you start doing that, it takes on a completely different posture when you go and you talk with your wife about that scripture.
Yes.
But it still comes down to that. Brother, it's your deal. It's your gig. You're the one that needs the healing. Your wife will come along, but it's your role to also bring her along. Mm-hmm. She's your helpmate, but she ain't supposed to be leading.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not supposed to be getting mad and throwing stuff at her. Mm-hmm. But, brother, there is hope. You're not alone.
Yep.
You're not the only guy that has this going on, yep, and there's healers out there. So be encouraged. There is hope.
Yes. And one of the things, just keep in mind, too, okay, God knows your heart, okay? But the thing is, when you give your heart to him, he'll take it and he'll change it, okay? And you won't have anything to do about it, okay? You won't be able to stop it, okay? But I will tell you this, it'll be all worthwhile. So don't feel guilty. Don't worry about the shame and all that comes with having to look at this stuff. Know this, that you are loved by God Almighty. He created you. And there is nothing in this world or outside of this world that will ever separate that love from you. Okay? So just know that. Trust in him. Move forward. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got one more that we're going to deal with. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at startouch.com. You are the air.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we've been hitting these emails, got a couple of them that we got under our belt. We've got A few minutes here, so we'll go ahead and hit another one that you've got, that we've got in.
Well, this is very mainstream. This gentleman says, I've had a problem with alcohol for probably over 30 years. Even though I denied it for about 20 of those years, it took me losing my family to get serious about it. About 10 years ago, I did a treatment center. That seemed to help for about a year. Then 3 years ago, I tried AA. It didn't seem to fit with the, I didn't seem to fit with the people there. A few months ago, I decided to start going to church, and I've tried reading the Bible for help, but I don't see anything that works there either. Do you have any other suggestions? Well, at least he's searching.
Yes, he's searching, and that's a good thing. I just pray that you're not drinking in between your searches and stuff, because that will usually keep you away from doing any things that you're doing. So that tells me right there that you're probably staying sober. And sometimes in a certain sense, it's called white-knuckling it. And I know that because I am one. I used to be one. I am no longer bound by the chains of alcoholism any longer or drugs, okay? That has been taken away from me. That doesn't mean that I'm not ever tempted, okay? Let me just clarify that. That doesn't mean that I'm not tempted at times. But I know who is running this vessel, okay? And the captain is Jesus. And I am just a second mate or a first mate, whatever, to be able to say, what is it that you want me to do here, Lord, to keep this thing moving? And so when it comes to alcoholism and drug addiction, one of the things that I remember finding out about through my recovery, and this is, and I've been doing this for a little while, and I'm just going to just, without, this is all, you know, praise God, okay? Last year I celebrated for an anniversary of 37 years, okay, last December, okay? Now, that's one day at a time. That's how you do that, first and foremost, not in big chunks, one day at a time. And it means it's going to require work. It's going to require me being able and willing to do certain things that I didn't ever want to do before, okay? But I remember a guy telling me one time, he says, you know what your biggest problem is? And he says, yeah. I said, it's because I drink too much and I end up doing things and I forget what I did and I make havoc and create problems in my marriages. And yes, that was plural. Yeah. And in relationships overall. And he says, well, you know, the alcohol is not the problem. I said, oh, yes, it is. It's because I drink and I black out and stuff like that. And he said, no, that's not the problem. The alcohol and the drugs are just symptoms of what the real problem is. And he got my attention. I said, the symptom? He says, yeah. The real problem is that you have challenges, deep-seated resentment and things that have taken place that you're carrying, and the alcohol, the drugs are your out. They what buffer, make you feel better or not think about those things. And I said, that's, you know, I didn't answer right away, but in our continued conversations, he became a good friend. He became a mentor, a sponsor, and then became a friend and reminded me of, walked with me through this stuff to realize that, hey, there is hope in my life, okay, that I'm not alone, all right? So a big part of that was the fact that I needed to get to that place of submission and surrender and not to carry a lot of these different things that I had before. I remember the first time I went to an AA meeting. I remember looking, sitting as far away from what looked like the guy who was heading the meeting up. He was in charge. I sat totally opposite of him. You know, and what ended up doing, I saw these 12 steps up on a wall. And I remember there was only one word that actually was highlighted in my head when I kind of glanced over those things. And that was a G-O-D, God. I thought, oh, my goodness, Bible thumpers. I was not a believer at the time, right? I said to myself, they're Bible thumpers. And, oh. But I truly was willing to stick it out, which I did because I did not want to drink again. I did not want to die that way. I didn't want to hurt any longer. I didn't want to hurt people in my life any longer. I wanted help. And they brought me to a place of realizing that, yes, there is a power greater than me. That is God. Okay. Now, I noticed that you had mentioned something about AA here that you just didn't get along with that sort of thing. Let me tell you something. The reason, if you knew everything about Alcoholics Anonymous, you'd realize when you come to learn about all how that began and everything, it really comes from the book of Matthew, okay, from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus had done. That's where it comes from. That's where the 12 steps come from. And it is biblical. You can find recovery in the church, okay? There's different ones. There's Rational Recovery or, I can't remember some of the recovery group names. Celebrate Recovery,
that's,
I think, is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also one that also is out there with the 12 steps. That is a one that if you were to go to our website and go to the tab that says free resources, you'll see it on there. Okay, well, you can actually get a book and maybe even find out where there's some other men that are gathered together to walk through this sort of thing. We do that ourselves. But here's the deal, is that we have to be willing to go to any length and not hold grudges about certain people or certain things or think I don't get along. Let me tell you, yes, read the Word of God will help, okay? And you may think that, and what the, part of the key is here is that you need to feel like you're not alone, like you aren't the only recovering alcoholic. Because you'll get to a place, if you know, once again, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the very first pages, it talks about that was in the first book that was printed up. There's a statement there that says that we 100 people have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So that tells me right there that, hey, there is complete recovery, okay? They have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and that's what the enemy does. The enemy wants you to think that you can't get over this and you won't be able to defeat it, and he wants you to have hopelessness in your life so that you give up. And I'm going to tell you, one day at a time, you can walk through this not alone. Don't try to do it by yourself because it won't work. You'll start to believe the lies of the enemy when things start to go get a little heated, so to speak.
Well, and he already is. Yeah. He's already, what you just said about being defeated almost in advance, if you read the brother's email, he's trying this, he's trying that, lost his family, been going on for years. He even tried going to church. Yeah. Like, okay, there's a fire extinguisher I might be able to pull off the shelf and fix me. Mm. None of that stuff. Here's the deal that Raul continually reminds us of. We're not alone. The one good news in this, brother, is you have an opportunity to be the chain breaker and to be an example for other men. You're going to seek out, or you should, in your church, other men that have experienced just what you're experiencing. You think you're alone? You're not. You go talk to your senior pastor. You go talk to the men's lead, whoever it is. They're going to be able to point you to Bob, Bill, John, whoever it is that has just gone through or is going through that exact same struggle and is claiming victory in it. Not giving up on it, but claiming victory in it. So you've got examples, brother. You've got people you can go talk to that will tell you how they did it and where their faith lied and where their strength came from. And that's going to be through Jesus Christ. There isn't any other power I know of that can minister to that. Like Raul said, you're always going to have the addiction and the temptation. It's ministering to it in such a way that you don't give Satan any kind of a foothold in it.
All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes.
So know this, brother. God is, there's a reason why you're listening to this show. There's a reason why you go to our website, get some of that information that I put on there, and it'll be able to help you out too, brother. God bless you. You can always email us. I'd be more than happy to encourage you through email. All right. Good job today,
hey,
bro.
Amen.
How about praying for our brothers who
yes.
are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your anointing on this time. Lord, I just pray that the words of yours that we shared with those, that they would impact your kingdom and bring resolution and bring harmony and bring healing to those that are seeking you. In your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.